Matt Fall, age 90, of Clayton, Wisconsin, passed away peacefully on March 31st, 2017 at Cumberland Care and Rehab in Cumberland, Wisconsin. He was born on October 26, 1926, on the family farm in Vance Creek Township to Carl and Anna Fall. He attended rural Jones Creek Grade School and Clayton High School. How he enjoyed telling of his long walks to grade school, taking shortcuts through the woods, and his frozen lunches. Matt was a dairy farmer all his life, except for in the mid-1940s that he spent working in a lumber mill in Raymond, Washington, and harvesting grain in the Dakotas. He purchased his Vance Creek Township farm in 1948. On June 23, 1951, he was united in marriage to Phyllis Grosskreutz at Zion Lutheran Church, Turtle Lake, Wisconsin. Last June, they celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. They became the parents of five children, Julie, Beverly, Jerry, Nicholas, and Robert. With their pickup camper, Matt and Phyllis enjoyed many camping trips throughout Wisconsin and nearby states. He especially enjoyed the towns along the south shore of Lake Superior, and they took in the Bayfield Apple Festival. But his highlight of traveling and camping was driving on the Alkin Highway to Alaska in 1982 and 1992. This included visiting relatives in the state of Washington on their return trip home. Many weekends were spent at their cabin near Siren, Wisconsin with family. He especially enjoyed the 4th of July parade, Wild Bill's auctions, the Lions Club garage sales, and various events and sites in that area. Matt was a very active member of Holy Trinity Orthodox Church all his life and was proud that his grandfather, Joseph Fall, was one of the builders of the current church building in 1920. How pleased he was to have the sixth generation of family attending this parish. He loved his family dearly and was proud of each and everyone's accomplishments. He especially loved watching the little ones playing. Deer hunting was a favorite fall event after a busy spring and summer season of crop and farm work. Winter was more relaxing, watching wildlife and feeding the birds. May his memory be eternal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
I do not want you to grieve over those who have fallen asleep, as others do who have no hope. This we heard in our scripture reading this morning. Yet here we are, gathered to grieve the loss of a beloved and faithful man. A husband, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, a brother, a neighbor, a friend, taken from us by death. How do we not grieve? Well, the scripture didn't say don't grieve. Even Jesus wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. Scripture says don't grieve like those who have no hope. We do indeed grieve at our loss. We even grieve at that enemy we call death. We can hear of death of a perfect stranger and still grieve, let alone someone near and dear. And that's because death is mankind's universal enemy. But we who believe, even when we grieve, we have hope. We have hope because the Son of God came into the world with one ultimate purpose. And that is that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. Yes, Jesus did and taught many things, more than could ever be written down. But the ultimate purpose of his coming was his cross and resurrection. In about 10 days, Christians of all walks will celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the heart of that celebration is life. The conquering of death, the trampling of death by his own death so that those in the tombs, he could bestow life. Christ's resurrection makes for each of us a path to eternal life. Now, someone might ask, if Jesus destroyed death, why did Matt die? If Jesus destroys death, why does anyone die? Well, it's because life in this world is still broken. Jesus doesn't want us to live forever where there is suffering, where there is brokenness. Christ's victory makes earthly death a passage to the perfect life of the kingdom of heaven. He destroys death not in that it goes away on this earth. He destroys death's power so that it becomes a gateway to a perfect life without suffering. And we heard Jesus' words, "The day is coming. The day is coming when those who are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who love God, those who have placed their heart and faith in Jesus Christ, will live in the kingdom without suffering and will live there forever." Jesus has done the hard part, the trampling of death. Our part is the decision on whether or not to accept. And what would that kind of life look like? It's going to be different for everybody. But what those lives have in common is a life lived in, a life expressing the love of Jesus Christ. Matt Fall lived the love of Jesus Christ. And he did so in a way that was uniquely his. In the field of engineering, there's different specialties, lots of them, right? There's structural engineers, there's civil engineers, there's chemical engineers, there is aerospace engineers, there's mechanical engineers, and there's probably a bunch I didn't even name. A similar comparison could be made in theology, in faith. In church life, we have theologians, and they express the faith. There are liturgical theologians who study worship and the structure of services. There are dogmatic theologians that clarify doctrine and teachings. There are scriptural theologians that study and expound on the Bible. If a theologian is someone that expresses faith, what kind of theologian is Matt Fall? I always thought of Matt as a mechanical theologian, which, by the way, is the best kind. The mechanical theologian is someone who puts theology, who's someone who puts the faith into practice. Matt Fall is the quintessential mechanical theologian. He put the faith into practice. What are the criteria of a life in Jesus Christ, in a Christ-centered life? According to Jesus, it was this: I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. Matt Fall spent just about his entire life feeding others. He was a farmer raised by farmers. Think about it. Since he was knee high, the vast majority of his labor in a 90-year life went to feeding others. That's a mechanical theologian. I could end right here and have said plenty, but I have a few more things to share. Matt was a wonderful neighbor. He was a welcoming neighbor. I know because I was his neighbor. I was one of his closest neighbors. Our family was taken care of literally from the day we set foot on this property. Matt was one of the men who met our moving truck as we pulled in for the first time. Matt helped us unload the heavy stuff and bring it upstairs. Matt showed my wife Michelle the church for the first time while we finished with unloading the last few items. He walked her over and gave her a tour of this very church. Matt would drive his tractor from his house to disc our garden, which wasn't very big, mind you. It was like flip, he'd turn around, flip, the other direction. A mile and a half round trip for 6 seconds of work, because that's the kind of neighbor he was. Of course, he would drive the neighborhood daily to make sure all the neighbors were okay, something he did for the last time this morning. It wasn't just neighbors, it was his church too. Whether it was checking the old freezer every day to make sure cabbage rolls didn't thaw, to make sure families were taken care of when it was their turn for a funeral, he was there. He was there to make sure it was done right. He was born, we said, in 1926. Just think of the decades that he not only saw, but put his heart into since 1926 in this very building. And more importantly, for the people of this building. Mechanical theology is faith in action. But just because you're a mechanical theologian does not mean you don't have a soft side. If you're a little kid, a man of Matt's build and stature, to say nothing of his haircut, could be intimidating. I mean, think about if you're 2 feet tall and you look up at him with his barrel chest and that crew cut. He could be a very intimidating presence to a little kid. But I've heard from more kids, many of whom are now adults, who said that Matt always had a smile and a greeting for them, family or not, because to him they were family. And for a little kid to get that kind of affirmation from an elder of the church, it stays with them. They remember 30, 40 years later. It's huge. Mechanical theologian puts faith into action. As my family can attest, as Easter approaches, I get a little goofy. I'll find any excuse to come over to church to tinker. Now, on Holy Saturday, for those that aren't members here, the day before Easter, our church has a custom where folks can take a turn to read aloud from the Bible for an hour so the church stays open all day filled with prayer. I was fortunate enough in some of my probably unnecessary tinkering to get to hear Matt reading, hear him reading from the book of Acts a number of times. Sometimes I would sit in the choir loft just to listen to him read. Sometimes he caught me, sometimes he didn't. But to hear his voice pronouncing what the apostles did, because the Acts of the Apostles is a book about what they did. It's a book of mechanical theology. It's about what they accomplished in the name of Christ. And to hear those stories coming from his mouth was the perfect blend of mechanical theology. And speaking of abundant life, look at this family. Look how many there are, not only born from him, but also choosing to marry into this family. Speaking of a soft side, Matt loved and loves his family. Phyllis, you are and always will be his heart and soul. Michelle and my first Sunday here together was your 45th wedding anniversary celebration. And we just said at the end of services a few prayers for you. And I brought you up and we sang many years to you. And I'll never forget the way his face looked down on you. You were a little bit different in height. And his face beaming. Now, he had wet eyes. He didn't cry a whole lot from what I understand, but he was teary. He wasn't sobbing, not like Tony on the wedding day. But he was teary. But his face was radiant looking down at you, Phyllis, after 45 years. Matt was so proud of each of his kids, each one of you. Being his priest, I probably got to hear some of the softy stuff more than others did. And I heard softy stuff about each one of you. He bragged about his grandkids and knew individually what each one was doing in different times of their lives. Each one of you and each one of your activities was important to him. And the great-grandkids, two of whom, by the way, have birthdays this week, nothing made his eyes sparkle like you do. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. A life destined for eternal life is a life lived in love and faith of Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of theologians in this world expressing all kinds of faith. The mechanical theologian is someone who puts theology, who puts that faith into practice. I have always thought of Matt as a mechanical theologian, which, by the way, is the best kind. Amen.